welcome to another fantastic addition to your favorite podcast and mine, The Loftus Party. Tons going on, as always, things that you're not going to hear about on your legacy media. You want to get ahead of the curve? You're going to want to listen to this little ditty. As always, the Gimlet and I, the Liberty Gypsy, have got you covered. How you doing today over there in Gypsy Land?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
That sounded so fake.
Yeah, it's probably because it is.
What's really going on? We got honesty is the best policy. Okay, so let's hook me up. How are you? We're gonna help out here.
Oh, I'm just so mad that stimulus bill passed. I'm so mad that 250,000 Republicans stayed home in the Senate races in Georgia. I'm so mad that they're still talking about ending the filibuster. I'm so mad that James Clyburn said the quiet part out loud as if we all didn't know about this HR 1 bill that's just going to destroy elections in America.
It's a lot.
It's a list.
I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. Let's just start with the stimulus bill. And this one, I've written about it at theloftusparty.com. I'm probably going to write another piece about it this afternoon. I don't know what else I can say. It's more like therapy to write it out.
Right.
But to me, and this is, and I talked about this on the live stream. You guys, we do the live stream on Facebook every Wednesday at the Loftus Party Facebook page. To me, the stimulus bill, this one is unforgivable. This one is a total and complete failure. And I don't want to start off like I have these notes of like, oh, here's what I want to talk about. And there's some good stuff. There's some optimistic stuff that you just can't help. You know, we're optimistic creatures. I think we're hopeful creatures. But this stimulus bill, in case you haven't read the articles or you haven't seen the live stream, this is a total and complete failure. This is one of the most vile is almost too easy of a word. It's not disgusting doesn't quite do it. And when you think about this in the total context, now I didn't like the other stimulus bills. I really did not. And there's tons of waste. I know from the first stimulus bill, they think just in an unemployment payments, just in unemployment, there was $63 billion. That people scammed $63 billion. So, and I'm sure you've got, I'll try not to eat up all the time on this because I know you have incredible insights. Here's what just drives me absolutely bonkers. They wanted to go with a stimulus bill. They've been sitting on this thing for months, 8 months, and Nancy Pelosi used it as leverage against Trump. She waited, she dragged her feet. And the one that she presented, this is like, so you've gone 8 months with nothing. I'm gonna get really pissed off here. I gotta be careful. I'm gonna really get pissed off. 8 months, the American people had nothing. Now, let's just talk about how deadly and real COVID is. If you go outside, you're dead. If you go to work, you're dead. If you don't wear a mask, you're dead. That's what the government's saying. Don't do it, you guys. You're going to kill yourself and everyone else. Stay the fuck home. That's how deadly it is. Okay, so could I have some of my tax money back? Well, here's what we're going to do. Your benevolent rulers are going to give you $600. That was their first offer. Meanwhile, gender studies in Pakistan. Why are people poor in Ecuador? Oh, let's give some money to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. They spend all this money everywhere else, and they were going to give you $600. It was Trump that said it should be at least $2,000. And I know in my bones that he was saying, get rid of this other crap and give the American people $2,000. That was his idea. So now we're playing catch up. Now we're playing catch up on it all. They had so I'm not going to bore you with all that. My point is this. They told you you couldn't go to work. They told you you couldn't earn a living because everything was so dangerous. Their idea was to give you $600. Then these sons of bitches promised the $2,000, pulled it back to $1,400, but yet this bill still goes forward with spending on God knows what, like out of $1 trillion. The American people, the people of this country who've been convinced that if you utter the words America first, you're a freaking Nazi and a racist. It's the most disgusting. I feel like a citizen of France before the French Revolution. It's so disgusting that they did this. And I tell you, I think, and I'm not thrilled with the Republicans either. I'm not thrilled with the Republicans either. And they're saying the same old catchphrases that they said. This, you know, who's going to pay for this? Our grandchildren are going to pay for this. Yeah, of course. But you know what? How about you save that tired old shit? You're going to have to let that one rest for about 2 decades. You say that now and people tune out. Stick to the fact they did not care. All of government did not care if you lost your home, you lost your apartment, you couldn't buy food, you can't do anything. It's our money. And, and as mad as you are, for the Democrats to even propose this bill, and I will preach that one to the choir till the cows come home. I got to give it to you now. I got to catch my breath. I'm hyperventilating, Stacey.
I just 9%.
Yeah, that's what they say.
9% of that $1.9 trillion goes to COVID-related stuff.
It is now crazy.
Here's my other problem. I don't want to pay for California's bad financial decisions and crappy union contracts. I don't want to pay for New York's or Illinois's either.
I don't want to pay for abortions across the globe.
We're going to lose so much money because of the pandemic, blah, 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 blah. Brookings Institute, which is by no means a right-wing think tank, just did an assessment and said, actually, everybody's pretty good, and maybe nationwide you'd see $450 billion in shortfall. But that's spread over 50 states.
Yeah.
So, like, the miss was not nearly as big as it was supposed to be. We just did a relief package for 4 times that amount. The schools haven't even spent the money they were given last time. And now you got Dr. Fauci on TV. Well, schools are all going to have to redo their ventilation systems before it's safe. It's like, no, they don't. No, they don't.
It is
over half the nation is back in school.
It is. We can't continue down this path. Like everyone, like this is always. Yeah, you get these big omnibus bills in the past, and they always try. I've done video and after video after video about this stuff, and. And here's what drives me crazy, too. So you've got 9% of this Frankenstein monstrosity. 9% of this. And then they go, it's relief. This is relief. There should if this was Michaeltopia and I made the rules, I'm like, no, you cannot call it that. If it's like you wouldn't take that from if you went and bought a pound of ground beef and it was only 9% ground beef. And the other 90% was freaking peanut butter and snail shit. You wouldn't call it ground beef. You'd call it peanut butter and snail shit. And that's what this bill is. And then to have these, oh my gosh. And it's just so predictable and horrible. And these people go on NBC and they go on MSNBC and this is relief for America. This, I don't know why the Republicans don't want this relief for America. Here's the good things that are in. And then it's like, put the needle on the record. There's money for unemployment. There's a one-time payment of $1,400. Yeah, what else is there? That's only 9% of the... Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. I hate it. I can't stand it. And that's why I just... I want to get more and more people involved. More and more people involved. That's the idea. Because I'm tired of taking this crap. I'm tired of taking this crap. Right now, we got 35,000 people on the Facebook page. I'm hoping that'll be 50,000 people in a couple months. And I tell you, if only half of us, if only a third of us pick up the phone on the same day, if only a third of us send an email on the same day, that we will be heard. I'm going total Horton Hears a Who. Remember at the end when all the kids are like, yop, yop. That's going to be us. That's going to be us. Now let's go on to another happy subject, Gimlet, of HR 1. The one that's coming right down the pipeline. That's going to be
it. It's only coming down the pipeline if Manchin and Sinema cave on the filibuster.
So, how so? Explain. Walk me through that one. Walk our listeners through that one.
Because it's a piece of legislation and it requires 60 votes in the Senate. So... get 60 votes in the Senate, it won't pass. Republicans are dead set against it. The only way it can end up passing the Senate with full Republican opposition is if they eliminate the filibuster, which is what requires 60 votes. Then it would go to a simple majority vote.
Oof. Ay, 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 ay.
Now.
Hey. Go ahead.
Now, if you take a look at eliminating the filibuster and you look at the states that Kristen Sinema and Manchin come from, that would not be a popular move in either state. Because one's from West Virginia and one is from Arizona, which are still ostensibly red states.
Yeah.
And they're sitting on the Democrat side of the aisle. So now they have their entire caucus super pissed at them. Because James Clyburn said the quiet part out loud in an interview. He basically said, if we don't pass this bill, we're not gonna stay the majority in Congress.
Well, that's the terrifying notion. That's the terrifying mm-hmm. notion. Now say what you will about Nancy Pelosi, but never ever underestimate her. You know, people like, oh, she's drunk and oh, she looks like she's on drugs. Yes, she's a very entertaining character. She's a very, mm-hmm. We don't say open sesame. We say open Biden. That was insane and funny.
Oh, my God.
But never forget, she has been around the block and she sticks around because she's good at what she does. And she is one of the huge reasons that Obamacare got passed in the middle of the night. They did whatever mm-hmm. they had to do. They threw their fellow Democrats on the bonfire. They didn't care. They did the Louisiana Purchase. Remember how much money they gave to the state of Louisiana? They did that in a couple states. Just wrote them huge fat checks. Literally bought mm-hmm. their votes before our very eyes. So having to count on Joe Manchin and having to count on Kristen Sinema, who still, wow, I'm happy she's back in the news. At least.
Oh, God, no thigh boots, though.
It's a terrifying notion. Nancy Pelosi is keenly aware that when you have Democrat in the White House, you're gonna lose Congress. That's just how America loves that balance. That's just always how it goes. You know, motivates the base, yada, yada, yada. So you got this little window to go full on progressive, full on socialist. And that is, I guarantee that's the logic that they're using with everybody. We have to do this now. We need to radically change America now. Tick tock on the clock, because when it comes time to vote for your local congressman, they're going to get their asses handed to them. So they got to change the way we vote. It is just the notion of having a 16-year-old be able to vote. That, come on, you guys. Come on. And more mail-in voting. Did you see the do-over in Mississippi the judge ordered?
No, I did not.
Yeah, check out the Gateway Pundit. Check out the Gateway Pundit. A Mississippi judge in some county, I should have it at my fingertips, ordered at, no, he goes, we're gonna redo this election in this county because 78% of the mail-in ballots were fraudulent. So, yeah, right? There's a weird thing that never happens. It never happens, you guys. It never happens. So that's the horrible reality that we're looking at. And as always, I'm trying to offer up solutions. And all I can think to do legitimately is just to keep getting people coming to the Loftus Party Facebook page, going to the loftusparty.com, and really just as a central hub. And we're not going to do this all the time. We're going to really pick our shots. You know, we're not going to do boycotts every other week. We're not going to do this. And a lot of it, I want to do much cooler stuff, more optimistic stuff. Like when we raised, you know, the money so that we could say thank you for the police department, and for money that we raised for the food bank. And I want to help out more small businesses and stuff like that. However, the great benefit of having tens of thousands of people from all over the nation coming in, we can do things at the same time. And it, like shooting out an email to your senator to let them know, hey, do not vote on this. You got to push back on this. Just to let them know how America is feeling, how common sense America is feeling. We can do a lot of good. We can really make some change. So that's my temporary Band-Aid on all this. Okay. We got to talk a little bit in this this segment about the big March 4th thing that happened at the Capitol. It's another one that it's just boggling, and it's a perfect system.
That wasn't the real date. Some dude named Ken told Dave Weigel it's really the 20th now.
But this is, it's perfect. It's perfect. You couldn't draw it up better. Here's what you do. You go, hey, we got some intelligence here that there's going to be an attack on X date. But we've turned the FBI. We told the FBI about it. The FBI is going to look into it. But we know that there's going to be attack on X date. We got to keep this fence up. We got to keep these army people here. We got to put more barbed wire up. We have to keep this going. And then when nothing happens, you go, "Woo! That's the FBI right there. That's the boys. That's the Federal Bureau of Investigations. They did their job. They found the villains. They shut it down." Unfortunately, we now have intelligence that says it's going to be later on in the month. So we got to keep these guys here. We got to stay vigilant, and we got to keep our fingers crossed that the FBI can root out this one like they did the last one. It's beautiful. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you could totally rationalize nothing happened. Do you know how many guns they found after the armed insurrection at the Capitol?
That happened according to Senate testimony, none.
Right? Zero. Zilch. Nada. That is, and I want to say this just as a joke, and I just, because I don't know where else I can say it. It's like, if this really were, if this was, can you imagine if it really was an armed insurrection? How many thousands of people were there that day? Do you think for a moment they'd still be there? They'd be swearing in. They'd be swearing in new congressmen right now. Like if you had tens of thousands of like armed militia groups descending on the Capitol, we'd be talking about a new flag. It would, yeah. It wouldn't have been like 4 hours of cleanup. It wouldn't have been a bunch of selfies with statues. It wouldn't have been a bunch of people staying within the velvet ropes, looking at the artwork on the walls. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So zero firearms. That's a big nada. It ain't good. It ain't good. The good news is there's still tons of great people in this country. And some of them, a lot of them.
Just none of them happen to be in government.
We just got to keep pushing. Listen, it's we just got to keep pushing our people. And whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. That is the most big. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Barry Obama said that, and it was just like a lightning bolt out of the sky. I'm like, that dude knows what's up. That's it in a nutshell. And so that's what's been going on for years and years and years. And say what you will about the guy, say what you will about Nancy Pelosi, old Barry Obama, he certainly knows how to organize a community, and that's what we got to do too. You got to organize a community, and that's what we're trying to do. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for turning your friends onto it, turning your friends onto the Loftus Party Facebook page. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to keep everybody informed. You know, Gimlet and I always, we're always ahead of the curve, and I'm not bragging about that. That's just a statement of fact. If you listen to this show, you know we are discussing things that other news outlets and other podcasts and other YouTubers, they're months away from talking it. And I don't know. I feel like it's a fun show. We're dialed in. We're doing good stuff. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, you guys, it's a big show. It's a big show. We're going to talk about Cuomo. Ooh, and we're going to talk about CRISPR. If you don't know what CRISPR is, you're about to find out what CRISPR is. We have to talk about the Chinese anal swabs. We have to talk about that. That could be its own show. And then, of course, we got What's on the Web with Paul. All kinds of good stuff. Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew! Oh, my gosh. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
I'm going to open up the B block with this because this is what I want to title the podcast. And I don't want there to be false advertising. But the idea before because I genuinely want to know how you're doing. So I asked and you told, and that affected the A block. Here's how I wanted to start this show.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Listen, baby. We're in the real. We ain't lying to nobody. We're all up in the real. I wanted to start the show with understanding the Roaring Twenties. That was my thing, like because we're going to be in them now. It's going to be the Roaring 2020s. I am so stoked for this summer. It's unbelievable. I haven't been this excited about a summertime probably since I was 12 years old, 13 years old. I mean, it's like I am ready. I am talking about the beach. I am talking about fun in the sun. I am talking about barbecues and staying up late and looking at the stars and going out dancing and telling jokes and laughing and going out and seeing some live music. Frickin', I'm just ready. Let's get naked. Let's have fun. Crank it up, bitch. It's going to be a freaky one. Like, I am so ready. I am so ready. Aren't you? Aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I can wait until Memorial Day to go kayaking and tubing and all the stuff I loved doing last year.
I'm not even kidding. It's just, it's right there. It's right mm-hmm. there. And it's going to be a good time. So, like, and I don't know why history teachers never put that in context. I always, as a kid, when you'd find out about, like, the Roaring Twenties, you're just like, oh, okay, I guess everybody was just happy. Maybe because World War I was over, but they never talked about the Spanish flu. They never talked about, you know, and that was freaking legit. So I think it's, America's got all this energy. The economy's going to come roaring back. It's going to come roaring back. And be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. And we've always said this on the show. I've always said this, and it's true. The American economy is idiot proof. The American economy is idiot proof. All you have to do is stand back and get out of the way. That's all you have to do. And if Roosevelt would have done that in the 30s, we would not have had the Great Depression. I love saying that. The rest of the world had a depression. America had the Great Depression. Because everybody else, every other country was just like, I don't know, what do you do? And then it just do. People fill the void. Oh my gosh, I wish I had some bread. Okay, I'll start making bread. I'll sell that. It just happens. It just happens. It's one of the byproducts of surviving. You trade goods for services and skadoosh, you got an economy. But when you start messing with it and you start, oh, we're going to do it, you mess it up. Okay, so now I can.
Well, Biden's messing with it, though.
He is, and that will be the problem. If he's got enough people, and if the Senate can just slow him down, and just this whole, like, oh, we're gonna do a wealth tax and all this stuff, just slow him down, get some common sense people in there, more common sense people. Okay, so we're moving on. There's so many great stories to talk about. And here's, like, I was bragging at the end of the A block about, you're going to get the heads up on that are things on the horizon. You're going to want to know about CRISPR. You're going to want to know about CRISPR. Mm-hmm. CRISPR.
You're going to want to have invested in CRISPR.
That's a very, very good point. That's a very good mm-hmm. point. I'm going to circle that on my little. seriously, I am. Like, ooh, revisit that. Talk to somebody about that.
That and 3D printing in healthcare.
CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. It's horrible. But here's what it means. I'll break it down in like garage man talk. They can look at a strand of your DNA. And they can isolate certain genes now. This is if you ever saw the movie Gattaca, this is that. So they look at a strand of your DNA and they go, ooh, here's the gene that makes you susceptible to blank, whatever it is. They can chemically go in and edit that part out. And then with another agent, they fill in the gaps and your DNA, they say, is fine. Now, the implications of this, of course, are huge, like cloning. It's huge. But this is my problem with a lot of scientists. They don't listen. They keep messing with stuff. And it's how we got, in my opinion, the Wuhan. In China, a couple of scientists already went rogue, and they used this CRISPR technology to genetically engineer two girls who won't have AIDS. They just did it on their own. They're like, we're going to take out that part of their DNA that is the receptor for this thing that gives you AIDS. And so they just went for it. And now the scientific community is like, oh, how dare you? And they've if they can go in, if it's a movie and I'm a Chinese general, I'm already going, how do you make young men more masculine? How do you make them like pain resistant? I'm already talking about building a super soldier. And then in the same time, I'm like, can you change mine? Can you make it so I'll never get cancer? Can you make it so it is, they say they've just scratched the surface on this one. So,
well, yeah, but it's cured some kind of congenital blindness too.
Yeah, I'm there. Mm-hmm. We're right on the edge of some serious Star Trek stuff. Serious Star Trek stuff.
So, you know what a 3D printer is, right?
I certainly do.
There's actually, I can't remember the name of the company, but they do 3D printing in healthcare, and they have partnered with a company that is doing making lungs for lung transplants.
Sure.
Through a 3D printer, like one person has one company has like the forms for it, if you will, and this mm-hmm. company is going to print the tissue. I mean, crazy stuff.
Well, this is where I'm saying we're like very close to some Star Trek stuff. This is mm-hmm. like has elements of science fiction already over it. Remember when, who's the crazy conspiracy? Alex Jones is like, they've got human. They're mixing humans and pigs. They're trying to make, and he was right. They're like, they have to modify these pigs so they can grow stuff. Like they're growing, you know, human ears on mice. They're using human DNA in pigs. I guess they give it so that way the pig can grow you a liver or a kidney or whatever. It's gonna get weird out there. 3D printed meat. Bill Gates talking about all the 3D printed meat. It's crazy. So that's what's on the horizon. That's what's on the horizon. Now we got to talk about the here and now. We got to talk about, because these segments go so fast. I was on the Greg Gutfeld show over the weekend. Always a good time. One of the topics that we were talking about, well, we got to talk about Cuomo and his apology. But like, here's the one that we just zoomed right by. The Chinese they're doing a mandatory, if you're a foreigner and you're going to visit China, mandatory COVID test, and it's an anal swab. So I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. It was a very short subject. Like, I have so many questions about this. This is China. I firmly believe this, just trying to humiliate the rest of the world. Just saying, listen, if you come in here, we're going to shove this stick up your butt. Oh, it's a COVID test. Like, Japan has already asked him. Japan has already asked him to stop, which I think is hilarious, because Japan is like, it's mental anguish. It's mental anguish. And I'm like, really, Japan? Like, I've seen some of your videos. And I don't think having a Q-tip up your butt. You guys do some weird stuff. I think of all the things Japan does, a Q-tip in the butt might be on the tame side, right? So, this has got to be by design from China, just wanting to humiliate the rest of the world. What's her name? She's great. Emily Campagno was on the show with us, and she reminded me they're going to be hosting the Olympics. It's like,
yeah,
literally they are just going to tell, they're telling the rest of the globe, bend over, just bend over, mm-hmm. bend over and take it. We're China.
Why not? They've been doing it for a year.
And now they're doing it literally.
Yep, literally. They sure are.
Oh, that's their message to the world. We're China. Bend over. That's But Biden's going to play nice with them. They're not our enemies. Come on, man. Okay. I want you to predict what's going to happen with Andy Cuomo. Does he stay? Does he go? Is he tapping out this week, or does he stick around?
No, I think he's going to hang on for dear life. Hopefully he realizes presidential ambitions are over. But if they change all the voting laws, even that might not be the case. So I think he's going to hang on for dear life. I'm really offended that the Me Too thing is just coming out so that they don't have to deal with his horrible COVID response, because that would make the rest of them look bad. And we'd be running on real Dr. Fauci saying that he was the COVID, you know, superstar and everything else. This is just a convenient thing to let him know he is no longer on the list of the Democrats' future, so that they don't have to acknowledge that he like killed thousands of people and hit it.
It's horrible. And it's just, oh, so you can't really find a really good comedic take on it. It's just shocking to me. And like, listen, I've been in New York. I've been in New York the whole time. And if you were listening to various news outlets, you knew something was up. You knew something was up. Like, wait a minute. He sent COVID pop. Because everybody said, oh my gosh, we got to keep the elderly safe. We got to keep the elderly safe. They're the ones that are going to get zapped the hardest if they're around COVID. You got to keep them separate. And then Cuomo sending COVID positive patients to nursing homes already. There was bells and whistles going off like for months and months and months. And then to have like, listen, I'm not trying to say, you know, sexual harassment isn't a real thing or a real crime. And, you know, oh my gosh, he asked this girl to eat the whole sausage. He held that one girl's head in his hands like a horribly annoying Italian guy does a lot. And like, yeah, he's a jerk. He's a single dude. He's single and he's ready to mingle. And he was hitting on chicks left and right. I think you got to get in trouble for the killing of the thousands of people. I think you still got to kind of focus on that. For all this outrage of like, and then he asked me if I would ever consider having sex with an older man and nah. Yeah, that's sure. That is a crime, I guess. But the killing of tens of thousands of people and covering it up, I think it's just a little bit worse. I found his apology to be so completely, it was odious. It was odious. If I asked the woman a question and she was insulted by that, I apologize. If they took that the wrong way, I apologize. If I made them uncomfortable, I apologize. It was like watching the stand-in for Marlon Brando in The Godfather tell a horrible story. I'm just like, you're not sorry. And the number of times that you say it doesn't make it more real. And could you please talk faster? If you didn't like it, if you felt uncomfortable, I apologize. Okay, so Cuomo's a... Hopefully Cuomo goes bye-bye. And it's like you and I were talking about last week. It's... We got Kamala Harris coming down the pipeline. I really should... I'd love to put that up at the Facebook page. We should really do a... We should do a Biden tap-out pool. Like... Whoever gets it closest to the hole, like everybody gets to pick a square on the calendar. Like Biden will tap out by this date, and it's like $5 a square. And then whoever gets closest to the actual date, they win the prize. You know, just do a genuine, because that guy, he's not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse. Every time you see him, it's more awkward and uncomfortable. So they got Kamala Harris coming up. And they don't need anybody else on the left looking like a rock star hero. They just got to clear the decks for her. And then I'll call it now. I'll call it now on this show, ladies and gentlemen. When Kamala takes over, it's going to be the bravest thing ever. Kamala Harris. She didn't sign up for this. She loved Joe Biden. And when he suddenly, due to health reasons, had to give up the office of the presidency, this was an unprecedented time in history. Never before has someone, and yeah, there's going to like shower her with accolades, and isn't she the best, and yada, yada, yada. Woo-hoo! Oh, America, here it comes. Woo-hoo! Woo, it's going to be bad. It's going to be super bad.
She's the worst.
She really is. Let's do a little laugh. Let's do a little. Well, thank you for that question. And race is a problem in America. And we need to have a serious conversation about that. Yes, she's the drunk hooker in the Vegas bar at 3 a.m. We need to have a conversation about that. You know, we need to have a very serious conversation about that. All right, so we gotta give you some treats here. Before we go off to the next segment and what's on the web with Paul, we would be remiss, I believe, if we did not discuss what's going on in pop culture right now. Some things that are probably on your radar that might not be, and some as well. So they came after Dr. Seuss, and don't think that the Dr. Seuss thing is over, you guys. They say now, oh, it's just these books. Oh, it's just these books. And they go, oh, well, it's the Seuss estate. Pick these books. No, no, no. This was outside forces. They've been going after Dr. Seuss for years. And so the Seuss estate and Random House, the publisher, they went proactive. Oh, look at us. We're so good. We're going to get rid of these six or nine, however many books it is. There is an organized group. And I think it's called like Learning for Progress or Learning for Justice. Might be Learning for Justice. I'm not sure. They want all of them gone. They want, you know, the book about the star-bellied Sneetches?
Yep.
That book, which is like, to me, that's like in the Hall of Fame anti-racist book. You know, the bird people who have the stars and the bird people who don't have the stars. They want that book gone. Because they go, that book, that's not really about racism. That's about a misunderstanding of who is the real victim of oppression. And that book does not deal with the underlying issues of racism, but pretends to, which makes it inherently, it's the classic thing. If somebody, you know, says, do you believe in, you know, in white privilege? And if you say yes, well, then you're racist. And if you say no, then you're racist. It's a great catch-22. The book is racist because it pretends to deal with race but doesn't really deal with the underlying issues of it's horrible. So they're not done. They're not done. They keep coming. Here, and I don't know if you knew about this. Listen to this one, Gimlet. Mm. Here's some of the books. You know Turner Classic Movies? The station, Turner Classic Movies. Here's some of the movies that they have deemed troubling and problematic. Psycho. Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock. My Fair Lady. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Tarzan. And John Wayne's The Searchers. These are troubling and problematic. And we all know that is the first step in getting rid of something. It's like when you're watching a movie about a bunch of girls and all of a sudden one of the girls starts coughing halfway through the movie. You know that she's the one that's going to get the disease and die. Yeah. when they call something troubling and problematic, that's the girl coughing halfway through Steel Magnolias.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that's like every like girl movie. It's like all of them. The Notebook. Oh, everything's like all of a sudden it's like everything's wonderful. And all of a sudden she gets a nosebleed and you're like, are you okay, Betty? And she's like, I'll be fine. And you're like, no, You look at your watch, she's not fine. She's going to be dead at the end of the movie, and then all the girls are going to be crying, and I'm going to be like, why didn't we stay home and watch Lord of the Rings? You know what doesn't happen in Lord of the Rings? Some girl doesn't start coughing halfway through, getting a nosebleed. Making me sad. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're coming back with What's on the Web with Paul. There's a whole Patreon segment. My goodness, time flies.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
Could make this better is if we checked in with Paul and found out what's on the loftusparty.com in a segment called What's on the Web, then we'd scooch on over to the Patreon segment after that. Let's do that. Let's find out right now what's on the web. Here we go. We're going to talk about what's on the web. Guess who we're going to talk to, you guys? We're going to talk to my boy, Paul Hare. Paul, what's up, buddy?
Great to be here, Michael.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess the question is going to be the same this week as it has been in the previous weeks. What's on the web?
Just wonderful, wonderful stuff again this week. Let's start with Texas and open borders. We actually have about three posts at theloftusparty.com that kind of go together. There are two videos, your Joe Biden's open borders video.
Yeah.
Your What Did Biden Say About Texas video.
Yeehaw.
Then one I wrote, which is called Texas Ends Lockdowns and Biden Floods It with COVID Positive Illegals.
It is, I think I'm surprised this isn't getting more like national attention. It's so completely ridiculous for Biden to go after Texas for just like, hey, we're not going to do the mask mandate anymore. And meanwhile, hundreds, if not thousands of people every day are just scurrying across the border, not even being checked. I guess some bus line had a bunch of illegals on it the other day. They tested. There was like 108 people COVID positive just going Lord knows where. It's completely ridiculous. So that one deserves every single article we did.
And if you think about it, after 5 years, that means when Trump was running and then throughout his presidency of everybody screaming, treason, Russian. Here we have the ruling class back, and it's led by Biden. We have the ruling class back openly aligning with an invasion force, a foreign invasion force, which is what illegal aliens are. Mm-hmm. And everybody acts like, yeah, it's perfectly fine. What's your problem with it? And so the fact that we don't have anybody in leadership who can stand up and call it what it is, which is treason, just shows you that there's really nothing anybody's going to do about this. And we're just watching our country burn.
You know what? I keep, and this is just me, and I might talk with the Gimlet about this in other segments, but like I'm really leaning more and more towards getting a militia out there. I really am. The government seems to be incapable of solving this problem. I think you just have to have, I don't know. I don't know what the legalities of it are, but I'm like, let's get some people out there. Let's do a GoFundMe. let's pay for a militia to protect the border. It's crazy, but I think that's where we are. Okay, I'm going to get outraged. So we're going to move on.
So Lisa Kay was back, and she had a post this week with four films to mess with your sense of deja vu. So let's go through them one by one real quick. First one she posted about is the forthcoming Boss Level with Frank. How do you say his last name? Is it Grillo or is it Grio?
I think it might be the Grio.
Grio, and then Mel Gibson's also in it. What do you think of that that movie? I don't think they released it. Yes, I think it's going to be released on streaming, but whatever.
That one's going to be a boatload of fun. That's
going
to be
so?
A boatload of fun. Yeah, because it's that Groundhog Day effect. So like when Bill Murray was going, you know, reliving that day, he knew when to catch the kid. He knew when to push the car. He knew when to time everything out. So you start with a guy, and it's like they did this in that Tom Cruise movie too, The Day After Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat. As you go back and replay these events over, you get better at the timing. So it's just going to be a ballet of violence. I think it's going to be super fun, and it'll be great because when you see him get his ass kicked by somebody, then he has to go back and train for that and figure it all out. And then I think that movie's going to do well.
Speaking of Groundhog Day, that was the next film she had listed. Probably most people are familiar enough with it.
That's
what are your
classic.
Thoughts on that? Did you like Groundhog Day or what?
Always, yeah. From the instant I saw it, and I think. And this is going to be crazy. This could be a whole show right here, just us on time travel movies. But Bill Murray, when he graduated from SNL and into films, he did a movie called Razor's Edge, based on, you know, the classic novel. And he really wanted to be like a serious actor, and it was way too soon. You just couldn't do that. You have to make that transition. And I just thought that Groundhog Day was the perfect balance of Bill Murray as that carefree, you know, guy who's on the outside looking in, joking about everything. But then it had such heart at the end. It really, I think that was, that movie, I think, did way more for Bill Murray's career than he knows. And I guess that was the end of his friendship with the director, the guy from Ghostbusters, which I guess they had a big falling out during that. Kind of sad.
Harold Ramis. We're moving. You're thinking of Harold Ramis, correct?
Harold Ramis, yeah.
So the next film up, Happy Death Day. Did you see it? And what are your thoughts?
Never saw it. Okay. Never saw it.
We'll it's just, skip that one.
That title is a skipperoo right there.
I agree. I agree. The next one is the one you mentioned earlier about Tom Cruise, Edge of Tomorrow. What do you think about that?
That movie, I tell you what, you guys, my boy Tommy Cruise, he really hurt his career with the Oprah Winfrey jump on the couch and then the Matt Lauer psychology doesn't work, blah, 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 that whole thing. But he quietly put together a string of phenomenal movies. I watched Edge of Tomorrow, which was a horrible title. Horrible title. It sounded like a soap opera. So everybody started calling it Live, Die, Repeat, which is a freaking great title. I watched that on DVD. Dude, I could watch it again tonight. It's fantastic. If you haven't seen that. And then he did another science fiction movie. Can't remember the name of it. Where I don't want to blow it. You almost blow it just with a setup. He's one of the last people on Earth, and he and his partner who are defending this power plant before they leave Earth. Adventure happens, but boy, if you haven't seen Live, Die, Repeat, go check that out.
Did you ever meet Tom Cruise?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I've had. Friends who've hung out with him and all that good stuff, and there's been sightings. But yeah, I've never met Tommy Cruise. I'd like to meet him. I'd actually like to talk to that dude and see what's going on.
All right. We'll move on to the next one, Source Code. Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
All right. No problem. But we got some good background and feedback on a few of those films. And like we mentioned earlier, Boss Level, Frank Grillo.
Yeah,
that's how we say his name, and Mel Gibson are in it. You'll recognize other people in that movie as well. On to our next post at theloftusparty.com, How to Become a Meme by Cranky Gordon. And I don't know if you know the background of that or why he posted it. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
You read it.
It's too funny, but Gimlet and I were talking about this on last week's show and how this thing has just exploded. It's great.
Yep. So people can go check that out. I guess he made an appearance on MSNBC even. Not him personally, not him personally, but just a photograph that he took and that, of course, people who like to get outraged took out of context. Anyway.
Yeah, which is the best thing about it, which is the best thing about it.
It is. And next one, this one is TLP The Guys, Guys Just Having Fun. It's by someone you know.
Yeah. And
he's gone by Leo Loft on the website, but you know who he is. And they streamed Apex Legends Season 8. I've never played it. I guess the seasons are supposed to be like, they just do different versions each year, like Madden. Is that the idea? Is that
what the season represents? The terrain changes, the weapons changes. If you guys aren't familiar with Apex Legends, it's like a Fortnite thing. There are 100 people in a space, and there's a force field and a big giant circle, and every few minutes the force field gets smaller and shrinks the area of gameplay. So it's pretty much King of the Hill. It's going to come down to one person or one fire team. So the guys, TLP, the guys on YouTube, they're really good at this game. And they stream it. And whenever there's a new season out, they stream that because the weapons change. There's different hints. There's different tips and tricks. The terrain changes. It's all great. And I tell you what, if the apocalypse comes, these are the people I'm glad they're on my side to watch them do this stuff in a video game. I'm glad they'd be on my team.
So it's a battle royale format is what it
is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Next one, Dr. Seuss. We'll get into that a little bit, but first I'll talk about the post I put up about it.
Yeah.
I called it Dr. Seuss and Discovering New Authors. The short of that is that people can become outraged at that and say, canceling those six titles, which is what they did. And you can read about that at my post if you're not familiar with what happened. They're not coming back. The people that can control culture right now are the progressives, and they're going to just tear everything down. And people can whine about it. They can complain about it. They can try to say, well, that's not really racist. It doesn't matter. Things have changed, and nothing's going to go back to the way they were. So use this opportunity to go out and discover new authors. I talked about my new story last week, Thor versus the Valkyries. I'm going to talk about it again. I talk about my other book, Her True Self. I talk about other authors, and I post their books, photos of the covers of them or images of the covers of them. They're great stuff. You don't need to go to the big publishers. You don't need to go to your old stuff anymore. Independent authors can now produce professional quality work, and we are doing that. That's who you need to go to. That's who people need to start supporting. We're not going to hate our own works, which is what's happening right now. Dr. Seuss's own estate, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, has agreed, and they're withdrawing the publication of those six books. Go to my post at theloftusparty.com, read about it, and start supporting independent and new authors. You have any thoughts on that?
I really do. I really do. Because last week's we had comedians Tracy Skeen and Brian McKim. They also have written some books. And I'm like, well, let's get them over here. Let's get them to theloftusparty.com. And I really dig this. It seems to be like a naturally occurring thing. This thing of like independent authors finding theloftusparty.com. We're going to give them as much support as we can. And I want to get Brian and Tracy's book, more books, more authors. I guess it's what you'd call the free market. But if other people are going to start getting rid of books, not that I want to be like the banned book world headquarters. Maybe we do. I don't know. But I just really dig it. And I'm super happy that we do this at theloftusparty.com. I couldn't be happier.
And the post I have at the website, it ranges everywhere from children's book. I mean, little kids. That's the Toot Fairy book by Mark Huffman. It ranges all the way up to adult books. You have stuff that leans more towards romance. You have my stuff, which is kind of adventure. Mike Barron was a guest on the podcast.
Yeah.
One time.
Florida
Man.
He has
a series of books out called Bikers. So that's on there. Go there. Buy the books. It's fun. They're professional quality. You're not going to find cheap stuff. You can get them as ebooks. You can get them as hard copy paperbacks. Some cases you'll even find hardback books if that's for you. So go ahead and do that. Now, yeah. We've zoomed past 10 minutes. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, some posts you want to bring up.
I have to
say goodbye.
I have to, but before we get out of here, I have to just talk about this for a minute. There is a new video game coming out. It is coming out, I believe, in September of this year. It is called Hot Wheels Unleashed. And oh my goodness, I got so excited about this. You have to watch the trailer, because here's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever played with Hot Wheels as a kid and you set up these tracks and these loop-de-loops and these crazy jumps, you always thought, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be in that car. So finally, now Hot Wheels has licensed their name to other games. This is the first actual legit Hot Wheels game. They have a series of tracks. You're in the Hot Wheels car. And it does all the stuff. If your car has the big flame thing, it's going to shoot out the flames. You're going to race against your friends and people all across the globe in your favorite Hot Wheel car on these insane tracks that are like in a kid's bedroom. And you got all the loop-de-loops. You can make your own tracks. You can customize your car. The trailer is so much fun because it's like the way they did the focus on it. It's fantastic because they don't look like real cars. They look like Hot Wheels cars, but you're in them. Like it's at a Toy Story or something. And there's a moment in the trailer where a car goes off the track and it's going in slow motion. And then it hits the ground and it makes the classic noise, that tick, 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 that a Hot Wheel would make. It's just, oh, I can't believe how excited I am. It's like someone captured my youth. And they're going to let me play it on a video game. I cannot wait.
That's supposed to come out in September. The trailer didn't feature any actual gameplay, so I don't know how far into development that is.
Oh, it's one of those announcement trailers. If it's releasing in September, they got to be pretty far along. They just got to be working out glitches and stuff right now. So that's fantastic. That's it. Those were my, oh my gosh. And then go check out Maya Gabiera. She set a world record for the largest wave surf. I guess there's a female category in surfing. There's male and female, which makes zero sense to me. If ever a sport should be intramural, you know, just guys and girls go out there and surf, you think that would be it. She surfs a monster wave. It happened this year, and you have to see this. It's an incredible piece of surfing. So I got the surf bug big. This is my year. This is my year, Paul. I'm gonna be surfing. Okay, we went so long. We went so long, but I love this segment. There's so much great stuff. Go to theloftusparty.com. Go grab some books. You know what? You can always give them away as gifts too. Somebody's got a birthday coming up. You gotta give somebody a gift. Why not give them the gift of an independent author's work of wonderfulness?
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Love it.
All right. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye. Now, I know you want to put a bow on this when you're like, that's a great podcast. That was so much entertainment. I feel somehow dirty for getting that for free. Well, guess what, you sexy heathens? Slap that right cheek, keep that left one in the seat. The Gimlet and I are headed over to Patreon to give you even more. What? Slide on by. And if you don't, think about these choices you made in your life. Okay? Think about that. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.